This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brandt. If you're a Gen Xer, you probably remember seeing the Weird Al video for Eat It on MTV. His 1984 spoof of the Michael Jackson hit Beat It sold a 500,000 copies and launched a career that has kept fans laughing ever since. It just doesn't get old, that song. Well, a new movie tells the origin story of Weird Al Yankovic. Well, the Weird Al version of Weird Al's life. In other words, it's a parody.
Do I know you?
Madonna, I was wondering if you were going to do a parody of my song, Like a Virgin.
I'm curious, is that song autobiographical?
Yes. Except for the fact that I've had a lot of sex.
Name one creative genius that doesn't have a checkered past involving alcohol.
I've been there, so.
And drugs.
Weird, the Al Yankovic story, just debuted on the Roku channel. It stars Daniel Radcliffe as Weird Al. He is, of course, best known as starring in the 8 Harry Potter movies. Radcliffe was not even born when Eat It was released. But both are here now. Welcome, Weird Al and Dan Radcliffe. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, very well. Thank you for having us.
Wow, you sound so similar. I know one is British and one is not.
We won't say who. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Al, did you intend to do a parody biopic of your life? Because you wrote this as well, right?
Yeah, that was always the intention, because an actual true biopic wouldn't be that interesting. I haven't had a very dramatic life full of scandal and controversy, and we figured it should follow the same formula as every single other Hollywood music biopic. So we had a troubled childhood and a lot of things going on that you know, maybe are exaggerated or perhaps more likely fabricated from scratch.
Is there any truth to any of it?
Yeah, I mean, there's several things in the movie that actually happened. I did, in fact, start taking accordion lessons because of a door-to-door salesman. I did record my first single, My Bologna, in a public restroom. And there was such a thing as the Yankovic bump, meaning that whenever I do a parody, the original artist actually has a spike in sales. So, I mean, there are several things in the movie which are true or rooted in reality, but then we, again, exaggerate them or go in a whole different direction.
So you didn't have a relationship with Madonna?
Not as such. I mean, I talked to her for 45 seconds in 1985. So if that's a relationship, I don't know what you're considering a relationship, really.
Well, maybe it is. I don't know. So, Daniel, how much did you know about Weird Al before you signed on to this?
So when my girlfriend and I started dating 10 years ago, that's when my true education in Weird Al kind of began. I knew sort of the biggest hits probably before that. But I didn't have the sort of encyclopedic knowledge that Aaron's family had. And so, yeah, Al kind of became the soundtrack to Christmas, even though, as you point out the other night, you only really have 2 Christmas songs, but was the soundtrack to Christmas and road trips and things like that. So it's just been a steady progression of learning and loving more and more and more of Al's work. So that by the time I got, you know, to read this script and have this offer come through, I was sort of pretty well prepared for it. I mean, I really was more than aware of who Al was. I was a fan at that point. So it was, you know, made it intimidating, but very exciting to take on.
Why intimidating?
Well, I know I've played real people before, but I've never played somebody that I am like an active fan of while they are also there and part of the process. That's a pretty unusual situation. But I ended up in the best version of that situation because it was Al, and thankfully Al is incredibly like supportive and kind and like encouraging of both my performance and of you know, the movie as a whole. So it made the intimidation factor lessened as we went on.
And Al, were you intimidated by Daniel?
I always kind of felt like we were kindred spirits. So he felt like an immediate friend. So even though I'm highly respectful of his work and his his being an icon, I don't think we were like in awe of each other. We just kind of like got on immediately well with each other just because we just felt like, you know, we were just 2 huge nerds doing what we love to do.
Okay, so Daniel, you wear a crazy wig, you have a mustache, you strap on an accordion. How else do you go about trying to be Weird Al?
You've really cracked the first three. There's also, for me, there's the costume, and the hair and makeup is a very big part of it. I think the thing that was most helpful, you know, it's not always the way I go about things, but sometimes it can be helpful to sort of identify character traits that you do feel like you have in common, or that, you know. And with this, I do think there's Al operates in, to the way I see it, a space that's sort of between the incredibly sweet and kind and earnest and the just psychotically unhinged and deranged. And that's really, if I could spend my entire life working in that sort of area, that would be ideal. And yeah, it's I feel like that was just the thing that I was going for with the character, is trying to capture both that earnest sweetness, but also later on, as the character becomes less like real Al, to sort of feral, unhinged a quality that he has to have.
Is there anything, Al, in you that's feral and unhinged in real life?
There is, but I'm not letting anybody know about it. It's my personal secret.
I'm wondering also, have you ever thought about doing a parody of Harry Potter movies or anything like that?
You know, I actually was considering a Harry Potter parody song, like, gosh, I don't know, a couple decades ago. I made what was probably a mistake, and I contacted, I guess it was Warner Brothers Pictures, just to say, hey, would you mind if I did a Harry Potter parody? And we either never got a response, or they said, no, because, you know, when you deal with a major corporation and a franchise, there are so many people that can say no, and they usually do. So I kind of learned my lesson from that.
Oh, so have you ever done a parody and then been told to pull it?
No,
they don't see it as a parody?
I always get permission ahead of time so that I will never find myself in that scenario, hopefully. So everybody knows going into it what I'm doing. And most people actually look at it as an homage, and they're flattered by the parody. But no, yeah, everybody knows ahead of time, and hopefully nobody gets upset.
Was there one that you really, really wanted to do, but you weren't allowed to?
Well, famously, Prince never let me do any of his songs. He was always very protective of his music, and I can understand that. And I had half a dozen or so ideas that I pitched him, and he just never was into it. So that was the one that got away.
Well, I think, you know, parody aside, in this movie, I really do want to know how you got into this. How did this become your life's work?
Well, it did in fact start with Dr. Demento. Had a radio show starting in the early 70s, and he played all sorts of crazy music on the radio, like Spike Jones and Tom Lehrer and Alan Sherman, Stan Freberg. And I was being exposed to these people for the first time in my life, because all those people were basically, you know, years before my time. And I started sending them tapes in the mail that I recorded in my bedroom, just me and my accordion, you know, recording into a cheesy little cassette tape recorder. And he would play my stuff on the radio. I mean, this is decades before YouTube or any kind of social media. So there wasn't any kind of outlet for a weird kid making stupid songs. And he would play my unprofessional amateurish tapes on the radio. And that, you know, that made my brain explode. I couldn't believe, like, I was getting played on the radio. And that encouraged me to just keep doing it. And I just never got tired of it.
That's amazing. I mean, it really is kind of a, I don't know, rags to riches or a real American story.
It's a strange story. I mean, you know, I am the least likely person to achieve fame, particularly, you know, a fame that's lasted as long as it has so far.
Why do you think it has lasted as long as it has? There was a huge New York Times essay about how you were a salve during the COVID lockdowns.
You know, I don't know. I mean, luck, I guess, enters into it. Also, I surround myself with very talented people. I've had the same band since the early 80s. They've been with me for 40 years, and they're some of the best musicians in the world. I tend to you know, keep people close to me, and I'm loyal to them, and they're loyal to me. And, you know, there's probably a modicum of talent in there somewhere, but I think it's mostly me faking it and surrounding myself with people that know better.
Well, Daniel, I'm wondering how it felt for you trying to kind of embody that whole unlikely story and what you make of it, what you make of the fact that Weird Al is really an icon and an unlikely icon. And here you are.
You know, I will slightly dispute unlikely. I get what, you know, you're an accordion. There's a lot about Al that seems at first unlikely, but I feel like Al is also a very naturally self-effacing, humble person. And I don't know, I think there's also, it's not just luck. Like, it's an enormous amount of talent and hard work from, obviously, the band as well, but from Al. And, you know, I was lucky enough to see Al in concert the other night, and watching him live, seeing the breadth of what he can do as a performer and a vocalist is so cool. And like, and definitely something that I feel like people can overlook sometimes, though not everyone does. Some people are very, very aware. Anyone who's seen you live is very aware. That's why it was intimidating to play him in a way, because I am also so aware of what he means to so many people. And while this film is not a one-to-one recreation of Al and his life, it's definitely something that I hope captures and sort of honors his spirit in a way. And it does, as we've talked about on this press tour, it's not a film that you should go into expecting to take a message or a moral away from, but there is something deeply, I think, sweet and true in there about embracing your own weirdness and being proud of who you are. If there is a message to the film, then that is it.
Which is the message of Harry Potter, too.
I guess, yes, exactly. You know what? I've been essentially making one film my entire life. It's the message of Swiss Army Man as well. It's the message of a lot of miracle workers. Like, this is something that I think, I genuinely think is a great theme, and probably that is why it comes up in a lot of my stuff.
Maybe this movie is a Harry Potter parody, you know?
This is just the ninth Harry Potter movie in the world. It's the end of the franchise.
Yeah. I know. Well, it does kind of see that. I mean, are you self-conscious in that sense, Daniel, that people look at you and they think, oh, Harry Potter doing something else, Harry Potter, you know, playing another kind of oddball character?
No, not really. I mean, that's the thing. I feel like there are probably some people who do see that. And there are also a lot who don't. I feel like, I think very soon after finishing Potter, I accepted that, you know, the thing that will be, the Harry Potter is going to be the first line of my avatar. And it doesn't matter what I do for the rest of my life, that will always be the case. And I feel like as soon as you accept that, then you can go like, okay, well then that doesn't really matter, so what else are you gonna do, you know? So yeah, some people do just see me as Harry, but enough people now see me as somebody who wants to make other choices that it's certainly not holding me back from doing what I want to do.
Do you have a favorite Weird Al song?
I mean, I have several. They change a lot, but I love Bob. I love the lyrics to it.
Rise to vote, sir. Do geese see God? You nine-man interpret. Nine-man I nod. Rats live on no evil star. Won't lovers revolt
and,
now.
And Al, do you have a favorite Weird Al song?
I don't. When people ask me that, I usually say white and nerdy.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wild.
I didn't have to do any research for that. My whole life has been research.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both so much for coming on the show today. It's been great talking with you.
No worries. Thank you so much.
Weird, the Al Yankovic story, is currently streaming exclusively on the Roku channel. And we've been speaking with Weird Al Yankovic and Daniel Radcliffe, who plays him in the quote-unquote biopic.
Ooh, a little hungry one, hungry one. Open up a package of my bologna. Ooh, I think the toast is done, the toast is done. Top it with a little of my bologna. Never gonna stop, eat it up. Such a tasty snack, I always eat too much. And throw up, but I'll soon be back to my, yeah, yeah, woo! My bologna.
Coming up, we have other movies you can check out. We'll have your weekend film reviews, including Wakanda Forever.
Can you be both disappointed yet thrilled at the same time? That's the feeling I was left with.
That's coming up next on Press Play.